lamp unto my feet. Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible. Some time ago in Reader's Digest, a contributor told of an Aunt Ruby and Uncle Arnie who had adopted a baby boy after 5 years of trying unsuccessfully to conceive a child. To their surprise, a short time after the adoption, Aunt Ruby discovered that she was pregnant, and she later gave birth to a boy. One day when the two boys were 8 and 9 years old, the teller of the story was visiting Aunt Ruby, and a woman in the neighborhood came by to visit. Observing the children while playing, the woman asked, "Which boy is yours, Ruby?" "Well, both of them," Aunt Ruby replied. The caller persisted, "But I mean, which one is adopted?" Aunt Ruby did not hesitate. In her finest hour, she looked straight at her guest and replied, "I've forgotten." You know, when we are adopted as God's children, we quickly come to cherish our Heavenly Father's forgetfulness. He chooses to forget our sins, to forget our wayward past, and to give us the full rights of being His son or His daughter. He treats us as if we've never been outside of His family, as though we have never sinned. There is no greater blessing and privilege in this life. Today I want to study with you about a man who came to receive this blessing, to become a part of God's family, and have all of his past forgotten. Today's lesson is entitled, The Road to Gaza. As we begin our study from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40, let's start out by talking about the man from Ethiopia. Acts 8, 26 through 28 reads, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and he went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet." Here we read about an angel of the Lord arranging a meeting between a man from Ethiopia and a preacher who was at that time in Samaria. He'd been preaching there and conducting a great campaign and leading many Samaritans to Christ. This man from Ethiopia didn't know what was happening behind the scenes. He didn't know all that was happening, but what was happening was that an opportunity was being arranged for him to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was what he needed more than anything else. Now, this man from Ethiopia, he was a remarkable person. He possessed great respect and superior intelligence. This is evident by the fact that the queen of Ethiopia had appointed him as a sort of a treasurer. She put him in charge of great authority. He had a great deal of responsibility. And the very fact that the queen would be willing to give that to him shows that he must have been a man of excellent character. He must have been a man of great ability and great intelligence. He had charge over all of her treasure. But even more than that, we know that not only was he a successful man, but we also can tell that he was a man of great zeal and sincerity in religion. The time that he was returning from Ethiopia was just right after the Passover and the Pentecost, two Jewish feasts that were observed in Jerusalem. This man had made a great journey over many miles of desert, a journey that would have taken many weeks to accomplish and would have cost him a great deal, not only in time away from his work in Ethiopia, but also the expense of the trip itself. This man had traveled all of these miles, taking up all of these weeks, in order so that he could be there for this period of worship before God. This shows he was a man of great faith in believing in the existence of God and in believing in the Old Testament scriptures. He was a man of great zeal and willing to go to great lengths to be faithful to those things that he believed. All of that is even greater seen in the fact that he was a eunuch. The Old Testament very strictly forbid eunuchs from entering into the temple proper grounds. And so he traveled all of that distance at all of that expense to really stand on the outside of the temple court and watch as others went in to worship. But yet still he was there in service to his God. He was a man of great ability, and he was a man of great sincerity. But folks, even he did not entrust his soul to these things. The very fact that he made that journey showed that he recognized he needed God. And even more specifically, the reason that the angel of the Lord is arranging this meeting between that eunuch and between this preacher is because he needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. According to the Chicago Tribune, in the summer of 1994, Marcio da Silva, a love-struck Brazilian artist, was distraught over the breakup of a four-year relationship with his girlfriend, Katia de Nascimento. He tried to win her back in every way he could think of. Finally, he came up with an idea for a gesture of great devotion. He walked on his knees for 9 miles with pieces of car tires tied to his kneecaps. The 21-year-old man shuffled along for 14 hours before he reached her home in Santos, Brazil. He was cheered on by motorists, by those who were walking by, and when he reached the end of his marathon of love, he was thoroughly exhausted. He came to that 19-year-old woman of his dreams, but she was not impressed. In fact, she had intentionally left her home to avoid meeting him. The thing about it is that some people try similar acts of devotion to impress God and earn salvation. But like Katia de Nascimento, God is not impressed. The only thing that brings forgiveness of sin is the gospel of Jesus Christ and faith and obedience to that gospel. Here we have a eunuch of great talent, of great sincerity, of great zeal. But he understands that all of those things in and of themselves will not save him. He needs to hear and obey the gospel if he will be saved. And fortunately, the man from Ethiopia was a man humble enough to have an open mind, willing to listen and willing to heed. And so, because of that, the next part of this story focuses on the preacher from Samaria. In Acts 8, verses 29 through 35, the Bible says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? He said, How can I, except some man should guide me? He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? His life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. Now the Holy Spirit takes his part to arrange this meeting, and the man, even at this point, still doesn't know everything that's going on behind the scenes. But God is working, first through the angel, now through the Holy Spirit. But one of the things that strikes me about this is that even though an angel was used and the Holy Spirit was involved in arranging this meeting, neither one of them actually appeared to the man from Ethiopia. It was a Christian with the truth of God in his heart that was used to approach the man from Ethiopia. The same still works today, my friends. In the salvation of souls, God could send angels to talk to us. God could send the Holy Spirit to convince us. But instead, what he has sent is the gospel of Jesus Christ, which we as Christians have in our hearts. And that is the means and the method through which we are able to come face to face with God's message of salvation. And Philip is the one on this occasion who will be the Christian who will bring it to the man from Ethiopia. He finds him in his chariot. He finds him reading from Isaiah, what we know as Isaiah 53. And Philip goes to the man and he asks, "Do you understand what you're reading?" His question might seem strange to us, but the reason that Philip asked that question was it would help him to see immediately where this man stood in relation to the cross. The passage that the eunuch was reading was a prophecy about the fact that Jesus would die on the cross. Philip asks him about it because he knows if he believes in that cross, then they're going in the right direction. But if he doesn't believe in that cross, then Philip knows where he needs to start. For the heart of a man to be truly changed, it has to come in contact with the news of God's love seen in the Lamb of God. Jesus went to the cross to die for your sins. He took the punishment that you deserved upon himself. And before you can ever have the hope of salvation, the question has to be asked, do you understand? Do you understand what Jesus said and what Jesus did upon the cross? The eunuch said, "How can I, except some man should guide me?" Philip began there at that very passage and began to preach Jesus to him. His heart was open to listen and hear what God's word would have to say. And hearing is vital to salvation. One can't be delivered from the effects of wrong beliefs and wrong practices without coming in contact with the truth to correct those beliefs. Romans 10:14 and 15 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Romans 10:14 and 15. For the heart to be able to believe and be saved, it needs the message to be preached. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring that message, as Philip was doing here. And friends, if I may say in all honesty, it's the effort that I am striving to make over this program this morning to bring that message so that you can hear, believe, and be saved. Truth that is not delivered or received and received cannot have its intended effect. "You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free," John 8:32. But here on this occasion, we see one who is eager to bring the truth and another who is eager to receive the truth. Today, as I eagerly bring you the truth, I ask you this question. Are you eager to receive it and apply it to your life in faith and obedience? If you are, then the next part of this story is important for all of us, and it's the plan of salvation. The plan that Philip presented before the Ethiopian is the same plan that I present before you. It's the same plan that will bring salvation for any one of us. What is that plan? Well, Acts 8, verses 36 through 38 says this. As they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. The eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." He answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. There's some controversy surrounding verse 37 as to whether or not there is textual evidence for it. The fact of the matter in this case is that what these verses present is a plan of salvation that is presented everywhere else in the Bible. And that being said, there's no reason to doubt whether or not this was what happened on that day. This is the plan of salvation that Philip presented to the Ethiopian eunuch. And that plan began with believing. "If thou believest with all of thine heart, thou mayest." To be saved, that man needed to believe with all of his heart. He needed to believe in the existence of God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Hebrews 11:6. But the Ethiopian already had that kind of faith. He already believed that God existed. There was another aspect of faith that was causing his own salvation to become in question. And that faith had to do with Jesus Christ. On that day, when he had studied with Philip, he had come to learn that Jesus was more than just a man. He was the Son of God, sent from God, from heaven to this earth, to die in the place of man on the cross, so that man might be forgiven. Jesus Christ was the Savior who fulfilled that prophecy in Isaiah 53 and in all other prophecies that were contained in the Old Testament. Likewise today, we too must embrace this truth if we will be forgiven of our sin and saved for all eternity. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. In John 8:24 he said, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Not all believe that fact, unfortunately, today. Not all today have the faith that the Ethiopian had, that God exists and that he created this world. Evolution has wreaked havoc upon the faith of so many millions of people in our world today, and it's a shame that that is the case. Friends, look at the world around you. This is a world that couldn't have happened by accident. This is a world created by God. And you must believe that if you will live for all eternity in heaven. But not only that, when you look at the footprint that Jesus has left upon this world, the influence and the effect that the life of this one man has had, there is no explanation for how Jesus could have left such a large footprint other than this. He was more than just a man. His death on the cross was more than just any ordinary death. And his resurrection from the dead, his power over death, proves that he is, in fact, the Son of God. Don't you believe that? If you do, there are steps that should be taken. Steps that the Ethiopian eunuch took that day when he met Philip. For one thing, he repented. Becoming a Christian means going through and making drastic changes to one's life. We must be willing to accept and strive to make those changes that are necessary. For the eunuch, it was this. His way of life had been following an Old Testament system. It had been in living a certain way. And what Philip presented to him was going to mean drastic changes. And evidently, he was willing to make those changes. For us, it may mean that I've been living selfishly, and now I must put Christ first in my life. For in me, it may mean that I've been engaged in some kind of habit that's sinful in God's sight, and I'm going to have to turn away from that habit. It may mean that a religion that I have practiced is not according to the Word of God, and I'm going to have to give up that religion, even though it may have been a part of my family for many generations. The question is, are you willing to adapt yourself to God's will? You're willing to change to what he says is right? Or do you expect him to adapt to your way, to accept things the way you want them done? In repentance, a believer admits that his choices have been hurtful and have been sinful. And from that, he makes up his mind, he purposes to mend any relationships that have been broken and to change any thoughts, words, or actions that are not appropriate in God's sight. The focus shifts from what I want to what God wants and to what others need. And the truth is that what we want will be met in the process. We want to be happy, but happiness can only come in serving God first. That takes repentance. And that is a critical step in that plan of salvation. Jesus worded it this way, "I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. But it's not just faith and repentance either. There's a necessity for the confession of that faith that we have in our heart. Philip told the eunuch, if you believe with all of your heart, you may. And then the eunuch opened his mouth and he spoke these words, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. At that moment, he made his confession. He stated with his mouth the faith that he had in his heart. And we all must make that confession. If we are embarrassed or if we are ashamed to declare that Jesus is our Maker, our Messiah, and our Mentor, then we don't have the faith that is necessary to be saved from our sin. Confession is reaching out to Him. Confession is realizing that I can't save myself. I must call out to Him and acknowledge Him in order to have the forgiveness of my sins. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Romans 10:10 says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But then finally, there was one more step that the eunuch took that day. He was baptized into Jesus Christ. They stopped the chariot. They went down, both Philip and the eunuch, into the water. And there, the eunuch was baptized. This was key. This was the key to making contact with the Christ, the Jesus that Philip had preached to him earlier. You see, the eunuch understood he needed that one in Isaiah 53. And once he realized that baptism was the means through which he could come in contact with Christ, he said, right here is water. Why don't I be baptized right now? What would hinder me? You see, he wanted to do it right away. He understood he needed Jesus. And he understood that baptism was the way he would come in contact. And he said, I won't put it off for another second. Galatians 3:27 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. And this is how we put on Christ today as well. We immerse our bodies in water, and we immerse our hearts in the love of Christ and in a commitment to serve Christ. Romans 6:17 says, but God be thanked, you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. That's what the eunuch did here. He obeyed from the heart. And I want to ask you now, my friend, have you been baptized into Christ? If you haven't, I want you to think seriously about the step that you need to take. Baptism is your access to the grace that God is eager to show you. Baptism is your access to the blood that Jesus shed for you. How sad would it be if on your part God's grace is given in vain and Christ's blood was shed in vain? Can you imagine anything that would be worse than knowing that? If you haven't been baptized, we urge you to reach out to us, contact us, and let us help you take that step that God wants you to take. We reach out to you now as Philip reached out to the Ethiopian eunuch, and we encourage you to be right with God. And when we do, something very beautiful and remarkable happens. In Acts 8, verses 39 and 40, the Bible says that having baptized that man from Ethiopia, he came out of that water, he went on his way rejoicing. Oh, the prayers and the songs of praise that must have flowed from that chariot as it traveled back to Ethiopia. This man had a joy he had never known in his life. He had a peace in his heart. He had a hope that his life was safe in the arms of God. Why was it that he was so joyful? Well, for one thing, he was so joyful because he'd been reconciled with God. He'd been reunited with his Father in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5:18 and 19 says, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." Reconciliation is a beautiful word. It's a beautiful idea. You think of two people that are enemies who are made friends and family again. That's the beauty of what we have. We were God's children when He created us, but we forfeited and ruined that great privilege when we sinned against God. And at that point, we became the enemies of God. And He was under no obligation to do anything about it. It was at that point that God offered to adopt us back into His family. If we obey the gospel, then that offer becomes a reality. And we, like the Ethiopian eunuch, can be joyful in knowing that we have been reconciled. We're back a part of God's family. Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7 says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Galatians 4, 4 through 7. Because Jesus came, because He was made, because He went to that cross, we have the right to be adopted as sons of God, to cry out in our hearts, "Abba, Father." We are no longer slaves to sin. We are the sons of God, and we have the inheritance of a home in heaven. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing because he had been forgiven. He was free from the guilt of his sin, free from the bondage of sin. Ephesians 1:7 says that in Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. What a joy. There is no joy like knowing that the debt of your sin has been paid, paid in full and canceled. That's what is stamped upon the debt of everyone who is in Christ. And he was joyful because he had hope. If he were to die on that road to Ethiopia, he knew that he would go on to eternal life with God. Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." Your chariot is running right now. Your life, I mean. Maybe your car is running down the highway. And this message has presented before you a very thought-provoking and heart-wrenching idea, just as it did to this man of Ethiopia. He never saw it coming. And maybe you, when you turned on that radio today, didn't see it coming either. But here it is. And the question is, what will you do? Will you, like the eunuch, command this chariot to stand still? Will you force your life to stand still at this moment in time so that you can act in faith, repent of your sin, confess your faith, and be baptized into Christ? If today is the day that you wish to make that decision, and there's some way that we can help you, we urge you, please, contact us today.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you. We hope that you'll tune in again to this station next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and at 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.
And to